Welcome to the CCTA Wake Up Call Show. Thank you for joining us. And I, first thing I want to say is this is coming up. This is you're going to hear this show on the 250th anniversary of our Declaration of Independence, that we're deciding that we need to be free of the king. So there are no kings in this country, by the way. So
other than the Supreme Court.
Other than the Supreme Court, okay.
No, they just think they're kings.
Okay. My name is Bob Griswold.
Mary Griswold.
Pat Park.
Kim Fink.
Glenn Fink.
Well, again, welcome. So we've got a lot of things to talk about. I think we have to talk about some of the rulings from the Kingly Supreme Court and from the a few crazy things. And then I hope we do get to talk a little bit about our 250th and the fact that this country has survived as long as it has.
But okay. Since I won't be able to get into the technicalities of these rulings, I will just say, if anyone believes that this is a Trump-biased Supreme Court, they need to look at the ruling.
Just stop it. Yes.
It's balanced at best, it seems like, as the rulings would come
out. Now, we heard an opinion, and was it last night or this morning? The opinion was that Mitch McConnell would not let any candidate for the Supreme Court go through if they were going to agree with Trump.
You know, it was understood that it was okay to agree with him on minor issues, but on major issues, and this evidently came from somebody on McConnell's staff.
Hey, now, before you badmouth McConnell, he kept Merrick Garland off the Supreme Court.
Would Merrick Garland have been any worse than what we have?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. So well.
I mean, because he greenlit illegalities, not just flawed thinking, but the FBI and the DOJ did things
that
were illegal.
That's true.
Under him.
Yes, that is true. Okay. So let's get to birthright citizenship. Who wants to start? Did we get everybody's name?
Yes.
Well, we can start with, I'm extremely disappointed and frustrated in the decision. The original 14th Amendment was written for the freed slave. It was not written for vacationing immigrants.
Pregnant people.
From other countries to come here, have their babies, have them be citizenships. And even, I don't know if people really realize this, but these babies possibly will never, ever, ever live here until they're adults and choose to come back to this country. They are
or told to come back to this country for mischievous reasons.
The point is that they are a U.S. citizen just based on the fact that they were born here. And that is not the original intent. And that is my biggest complaint with this decision is the Supreme Court is supposed to interpret, not make law. And they kind of sort of are making law with this decision, because they should have been looking at the original intent, and the original intent was that this would apply to the slaves who were now going to be citizens, the newly freed slaves. It was never intended to be for immigrants.
I want to go back to what you said about the fact that they may not live here, they can come back at some point and be considered citizens. Potentially, we could wind up with a president of the United States who had been raised in communist China and brought into their propaganda.
Well, because they were bored.
Enough people vote for them, they deserve it, can I say?
Well, we've seen what's happening in New York City with some of the stuff that Mandami
New York City is not a bellwether place for the rest of America.
But it is an indication of what happens when you elect a communist. We're watching what happens when you elect a communist. He's working very hard to take over the buildings that the landowners own. He's got a whole system worked out to do it.
And those evil landlords?
Yeah, because what he's going to do is encourage the residents of those buildings to cite problems, create regulations regarding the problems that the owners can't meet, and then take over the buildings.
Well, he already did that with the grocery stores, so.
Well, beyond that, hey, he's taken over the party. Let's face it. who he supports.
Yes.
These crazy people who he supports are getting elected across the country.
We had another one in Colorado yesterday.
Along with AOC and Bernie and Elizabeth Warren.
The one in Colorado is an Ethiopian.
But she's an avowed communist.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Bona fide from what I heard with her statements. Just
the irony is that Chuck Schumer has 0.0 influence within
right
the party right now.
Which is a very
Boo-hoo.
Interesting place.
Boo-hoo.
Boo-hoo.
Well,
next, Hakeem Jeffries. Mm. He's hanging by a thread.
Yes.
Now, let's go back to, I'm sorry, I got us off track. Let's go back to birthright citizenship.
On the positive side of that decision, even though Kavanaugh did not vote favorably for getting rid of birthright citizenship, he has given a basic blueprint telling Congress what they could do and how the lawmakers could easily address this issue through legislation. And that Trump is calling for Congress not to drag their feet about this, since there are several members of Congress who have already put forward ideas, and some of them include attaching it to the SAVE Act and trying to get the SAVE Act.
Did you know Harry Reid had put forward a bill?
And that's what Bernie Marino, yeah. I believe it's Bernie Marino, is from Ohio, is putting forth verbatim the Harry Reid bill that had to do with ending the birthright citizenship. And I think that that's very, very astute.
Yes.
That Harry Reid, there's a blast from the past.
That will show that it's a, quote, bipartisan effort.
There you go.
Yeah.
Or point out hypocrisy, at least. You know, it just seems like whoever puts forth some idea is, whether it's good or whether it's bad, it's not the principle of whether it's good or bad, but what party puts it forward.
Mm-hmm. And who in that party puts it forward, even.
But I'm hoping that Congress will do something, and I'm hoping that enough people will be angry over the Supreme Court decision that they will get on their congressmen, call up their senators, and you know, the House has passed it twice. We need the Senate to get on board.
I like your optimism. But knowing that 80% plus of Americans support the SAVE Act and Congress has been sitting on it for months does not give me hope.
Plus, nope. They have more recesses than our grade school kids do.
Yes.
That really tees you off, doesn't it?
It does. If there's work to do, stay in town, get it done.
Get her done.
Well, some of these summer breaks and some of these breaks are supposed to be so that they can go back into their home districts campaign. Maybe if they hear from some of their constituents on this, maybe they will get there. But who has the authority to call the Senate back into order? Does the vice president have that authority?
No.
Okay, who does?
Thune. The head of the Senate.
Thune.
And
I thought the head of the Senate was the vice president.
No, he only breaks.
He's the tiebreaker.
Breaks the ties.
And can the president call them back to session?
I don't know. But I know that Thune has kept the Senate in some kind of limbo thing so that Trump can't make recess appointments.
What they do is they don't sign out, basically.
Signy-dine.
Yeah, signy-die. They stay technically in session.
So well, that makes me even madder about these daggone recesses.
Yeah, they
watch
do.
Watch out, Glenn.
They do it so the president can't make recess appointments.
Right.
Having a Republican Senate has not been an asset to the president during his term.
Well, it wasn't during his first term either.
No, it never has.
So you know, I was really glad that we've seen Cassidy and Tillis and McConnell and all these dinosaurs getting kicked out so we can finally replace the geriatric set.
Wasn't there some controversy about the Senate parliamentarian?
Yes, she's a Democrat.
So
she's the one that ruled that they couldn't attach the Save America Act to the
reconciliation.
The reconciliation.
Who has authority over replacing her?
Thune.
And why would a majority Republican Senate have a Democrat for the parliamentarian? Why?
It's called deep state.
It's because they all cover for each other.
I'll cover for them.
Let's send Glenn to Congress.
That's right. But I think we're all in agreement that this shouldn't have relied on an executive privilege. It should executive order. It should have become law, clarified in law long in advance.
Well, one of the articles I read pointed out that this has not been on our radar, the American public, but now it is. Everybody's engaged. They all know what birthright citizenship means. Because before, you had a bunch of legal analysts arguing about what does subject to the jurisdiction thereof mean. And now we have some chance of learning what that means. And the good part is we don't have to amend the Constitution, which, you know, what are the chances of that happening? Zero. We have more chance of passing a law in Congress because it's up to Congress to define what jurisdiction means. And for those who may not know, jurisdiction is the first thing you have to establish in a lawsuit, that you have jurisdiction. And I get a kick watching all these sovereign citizens in court. And the first thing they start yammering about is, you have no jurisdiction over me. Same thing they tell the cops when they stop them, try to give them a ticket. You have no jurisdiction. Jurisdiction is easily understood as a synonym for power. You have power over me, yes or no. And in a court case, you need to have both personal jurisdiction, power over the person, and subject matter jurisdiction, power over the subject matter of the case. That's why criminal courts only hear criminal matters. So I get a kick out of the sovereign citizens who only read the U.S. Constitution and say, is this an admiralty court or a military court? Well, it's neither.
Well, you know, I'm not going to try to drag this on for another 27 minutes. However, so how do we define the jurisdiction of judges right now? Because we seem to, and I'm just going to set us off.
The Constitution and the statutes.
Because we hear judges that are putting the kibosh on something that the president is trying to do when we don't think that they have jurisdiction.
Right. A district judge putting something against the entire federal government.
Yeah.
That makes no sense.
Well, the Supreme Court has warned them not to do that. But just recently, some judge, I think in California, issued a nationwide injunction. So apparently he doesn't read Supreme Court law.
So those stern warnings don't mean much.
Okay. Folks, on that, we're going to take a quick break. I'm pretty sure we're coming right back to that. This is CCTA Wake Up Call.
What's the largest gun shop in Craven County? If you said East 70 Pond, you are correct. Since Drew got back from the most recent gun show, new guns have been pouring in faster than they can open the boxes. The large showroom at East 70 Pond, slam bam, full of firearms. New guns and used guns, long guns and handguns. You will find weapons for self-defense, hunting, target shooting, and collectibles. The team at East 70 Pond is friendly, courteous, and knowledgeable, especially in the area of guns. If East 70 Pond doesn't have the gun you are looking for, they'll try to find it. If you want to do a gun transfer, East 70 Pond will help you do it right. If you are looking to buy, sell, or trade a gun, there's no better place to do it than East 70 Pond. Of course, East 70 has tools, electronics, trolling motors, and a great selection of jewelry. But their specialty is guns. And we're talking hundreds of guns. Come see for yourself. East 70 Pond, across from Craven County Fairgrounds, New Bern.
Other restaurants claim their food is fresh and fast, but are they friendly? At Moore's, you're treated like family the minute you walk into their doors. With locations in Winterville, New Bern, Swansboro, Moorhead City, and Jacksonville, we've been practicing what we preach since 1945. At Moore's, our barbecue is slow-cooked and smoked over real wood daily until it's so tender it's falling off the bone. Combined with our fresh chicken, cooked-to-order seafood, and homemade fixins, we're sure you'll agree. If it's not Moore's, it's less.
Round here, folks like to talk to each other, get to know you, look you in the eye, and see that you care. We call it the human touch. Whether you were born here or moved here really doesn't matter as far as we're concerned. You're from round here, and since 1905, folks like you have been calling folks like us for their auto, home, life, and business insurance. So come see us, or just give us a call, and we'll get you the best insurance protection possible at a real affordable price. We're Robinson & Stith Insurance, because when you really need help, you'll want somebody from round here.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business, it's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Folks, welcome back again. Thank you for listening to our sponsors and supporters. Yeah, before we leave the birthright thing, I think the birthright problem really began back in the Clinton era, I guess, when they were bringing in a number of people after Teddy Kennedy changed.
Well, he changed our demographic on our immigrants up until the 1970s. I think it was 76, but I'm not sure. The majority of our immigration came from Western Europe, and they were people who shared our values and kind of had this Western civilization thing going, and they assimilated very easily. Well, Teddy Kennedy decided to change that. And he totally changed the demographic of our immigration so that we got people who didn't necessarily share our culture and didn't necessarily assimilate. And it was done with the idea that later on they worked it out with Reagan that certain people were allowed to become citizens. And as a result of that, the Democrats would tighten up the immigration. But of course, the second part of that never happened.
And I want to add that along the lines of the immigration, we also have chain migration in families. And that's a form of legal immigration, and that has also caused an influx of immigrants into this country.
And there was a situation in Massachusetts where one woman came here legally, and as a result of chain migration, there were 23 people on welfare. And that's not what we need.
And chain migration, for clarification, is if you are a citizen in the country, any immediate family member mm-hmm. could come to this country legally because you are basically their sponsor. So it could be mother, father, grandmother, mm-hmm. grandfather, siblings.
But they still have to go through due process of becoming a citizen.
Right. And it is legal, but it's just a way that there have been billions of people.
But here, the birthright citizenship, that you don't have to go through that due process
right.
because you
right.
are, you're born with the gifts.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, one of the justices, and I think it was Thomas, said it devalues American citizenship, and I agree with him.
Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because now it's just a turkey shoot. Did you manage to creep across the border or get a visa long enough to, you know, have your baby?
The unintended consequence of that, it is extremely financial as well. There was one commentator on that was talking about just the sheer number of people who have been put on not just welfare or food stamps, but the cost to education and other social services.
Well, our southern border is relatively secure now, but when it wasn't, the hospitals in Texas were going broke providing free maternity care to people who had snuck across the border and couldn't afford to pay for it.
Well, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say with the schools, it's not just more people in the schools, it's managing multiple languages
yes.
in the schools, which skyrockets the cost and ineffectiveness. I'm sorry, Pat.
Well, I forgot what I was going to say now.
Yeah. But you have, and you also have the situation where many states give their driver's tests in multiple language. That makes no sense, because if they take the test in another language, what's the guarantee that they can read American street signs and directions?
Or obey a public officer.
I know what I was going to say. The ones that get here, they don't speak English. They don't have any skills. They don't have any education. They come across the border. They immediately go on welfare. They get free housing, free food, blah, 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 blah. And in our immigration law already, it's illegal to become a public charge. And the government just quit enforcing it. So if you want to call your legislator and ask them, why aren't we enforcing all of the immigration law? I remember hearing years ago when I thought, wouldn't it be neat to move to Australia? And then to find out, well, you have to have a job lined up. You can't go on welfare. You have to be somebody Australia wants before you can go there. Well, that's our law too, but you sure don't see it enforced.
How do we start a movement on that? I would think that mainstream America would really, I haven't given that any thought, so I would think mainstream America would be all in. Especially if you start putting a price tag on all those things. Mm-hmm. And if you want to balance our budget, start taking our debt down.
Well, it's something that you can see quite often when you go to the ER. It's full of foreigners. They passed that federal law that says the ERs can't turn away people that need treatment, whether they have insurance or not. So, you know, if you're an illegal and you have a cold, you just go to the ER. And there's people sitting there, you know, that had a heart attack or stroke or whatever, you know, sitting in there with in the ERs crammed full of illegals. That just really teased me off.
I want to go back to what you said about Australia, because when Bob got out of the Navy, we looked at immigrating to Australia because they were looking for computer people. And they were willing to, you know, be very nice to you financially if you were a computer person willing to go there. And we kind of looked at it, and as we got into it, we realized that, and again, this was the 1960s or early 1970s, had we done that, he would have been eligible for the Australian draft. If you remember what the Australians were doing in Vietnam, he had just gotten out of the Navy after 4 years. We just decided that was the deal breaker.
They were front line.
And they were doing things the Americans would not have done because they felt like they were defending their country.
Yeah, because the domino theory, they
were very
went
close
right
by.
Down to Australia,
yeah.
Right?
But we took a very good look at that. But they were looking for computer people, and they were willing to do very good things for you if you were into computers.
So reading the fine print is very important.
It's very important. That's right.
Especially in a country that enforces their own laws.
That's right.
Imagine that.
Let's go to a good news Supreme Court ruling. I was really glad that they upheld the rights of the states to protect women's sports. And
yes.
In our state, we had Peyton McNabb was hurt playing volleyball.
That's right.
From a transgender male that spiked a ball into her face. She has permanent nerve damage in her head and neck. And this is something that's going to affect her whole life from a high school game. And I think it is a state's right that... instead of a federal law, but it allows the states to determine for themselves what their constituency will put up with.
One of the things that we saw, this was years ago in Connecticut, with the transgenders winning the women's track meets, is a number of the women's track stars who had trained their whole lives for high school track.
And swimming.
And lost their scholarships to guys. And that's just not right. I'm sorry, there is a difference.
And swimming as well.
Yeah, well, we went through the whole Leah Thomas thing.
Well, is there an organization that's more reliant on the definition of woman than daughters of the American Revolution who just voted to let in transgenders? I just put in an application, and I may have to withdraw it.
That is nuts.
I can't imagine.
I consider that a very by-the-book conservative
group.
Historical accuracy group. And for them to do that,
yeah, it's
is
based
crazy.
On genealogy and biology.
Yeah.
Based on the foundations of the country.
And there is a Sons of the American Revolution. So if you want to be in a group like that, you can just join the Sons.
But the Bible also says that God created men and women. It doesn't say he created transgenders. We create transgenders by surgery and mental illness.
Well, it used to be considered a mental illness until somebody figured they could make money on it.
What was that word?
Dysphoria.
Dysphoria.
Yes.
Well, you know, one of the things that sounds so obvious, that we're in a situation where people cannot call a baby a baby, but we can call a guy that puts a dress on a woman.
He has to grow his hair out. Don't forget that. And put some lipstick on.
So
he does have requirements.
But again, we're not allowed to call a baby anymore.
And they're even talking about changing the word mother to...
New York already did it, gestating parent and non-gestating parent, which is disgusting.
It is disgusting.
Can you imagine reading a custody order? Well, custody of these children are to the gestating parent. Yuck.
Can you imagine a baby's first word? Gestating parent? I don't think so. You know, it's mama or dada. It's not gestating parent or, I mean, give me a break.
Well, how many Americans know what gestating means?
Well, that's a whole educational problem.
Yeah.
Yes.
So what do we want to go to next? There were a lot more Supreme Court decisions. I'm looking at one that the First Amendment victory over elections. Apparently, we've taken off any limits on election funding.
On the parties coordinating with their own candidates.
With their own candidates.
So now the parties can give more money than the super PACs. If they wish.
If they wish, yeah.
And another election ruling had to do with the mail-in vote.
That was so stupid.
And this is a bad one. It has to do with the postmark. The ballots have to be postmarked by election day. And it'll be interesting to see how they decide to interpret what is election day.
Or what is a postmark.
Well, no, election day, they don't have to interpret that. It's already in the Constitution.
Well, when we have early voting...
So they're not defining election day as when the ballot is received.
The election day has to be postmarked or...
Right, on election day.
On election day.
Or before, I assume.
And I guess the question is now with the current way that the post office is run, do things need to be postmarked?
Well,
I'm going back to the 2000
there
election.
There was controversy in the 2020 election about post offices not putting through some ballots.
Yes.
That they found cartons of undelivered ballots.
Well, I think the Supreme Court centered their decision on how long can the state take to count them? And they said it's up to the states. So,
but they need to be the ballot needs to be cast
by
election day,
which is defined in the Constitution.
Okay. Folks, we're going to take another quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. We will be back. This is CCTA Wake Up Call.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
Round here, folks like to talk to each other, get to know you, look you in the eye, and see that you care. We call it the human touch. Whether you were born here or moved here really doesn't matter as far as we're concerned. You're from round here, and since 1905, folks like you have been calling folks like us for their auto, home, life, and business insurance. So come see us, or just give us a call, and we'll get you the best insurance protection possible at a real affordable price. We're Robinson & Stith Insurance, because when you really need help, you'll want somebody from round here.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? People in the community that love this country to protect individual liberty and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.
Welcome back. Again, thank you for listening to our sponsors and supporters. Again, I think we still have a couple more Supreme Court things to burn. And one of them, that Supreme Court restores the executive authority to fire folks within the executive.
Well, the important thing to understand about that is that Congress kept creating these boards or bodies and put them in the executive branch, and the statute by which they made those bodies said that the president couldn't fire them. Well, the Supreme Court simply said, if you're in charge of the executive branch, you're in charge of all the agencies that are in the executive branch. Duh.
So that the intent of that was to get people in place that were protected from the president being.
Yeah, and the New York Times.
This is a bigger deal than I thought about.
Yeah, the New York Times did an article, and they showed all these executive agencies. And each statute would say there has to be this many Democrats and this many Republicans. Every single one was majority Democrat.
And now they're much more balanced.
Well, they will be.
No, but now.
But there was a side-by-side chart, and it showed, and some of the agencies were not filled, all the spots weren't full yet, but they were much more balanced instead of just being a single party or only having one of the opposite party.
Before we get too involved in Democrat versus Republican, I want to remind people that particularly during the first Trump administration, there were a lot of Republicans who were working against him, even in his own cabinet. And this is a way, when you've got people in the federal government that are government employees who have said, and we've heard this said, I don't like Trump. If he gives an order that I don't like, I'm not going to follow it. This is a way to get rid of those people because they are obligated. He is an elected official. They are not. And they are obligated to do, unless it's unconstitutional, to do what he tells them to.
Let me zero in on Puppets, Bugs, and Sagan. Okay. Huh? PBS.
Okay.
PBS. Is that a government agency? Was that a government agency?
It was funded by the government.
It was funded by the government. Okay. So is that within the executive branch? We don't know.
No.
No, if not.
It's just something that the government was helping keep on the air. And I still think, in terms of PBS, that whoever negotiated the contract on Tickle Me Elmo could have kept that PBS well-funded into eternity with what they made on Tickle Me Elmo, and I never understood why they didn't.
So,
and I have no idea what you're talking about. So,
well, they got rid of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. That's gone.
That's gone, yes. Yeah. And the funding for that is...
Well, that's why they went away.
De-doged, yes.
There was a little thing about 14 inches high, a little doll called Tickle Me Elmo, that was the number one Christmas gift one year. And Sesame Street made a tremendous profit on it, and yet none of that money was put into the Corporation for Public Broadcasting or anything like that. That could have funded them for years.
Okay.
So I want to know who negotiated that contract.
Probably Mattel or whoever made the toy.
And I think it was Mattel, actually.
Yeah. All right. Where are we going to now?
I want to talk about something you got in the mail.
Okay.
Go for it.
I got today an envelope that says election notice from Alexandria, Virginia, official document enclosed, and in bright red, do not attempt to interfere with delivery of this letter.
I got one too, by the way.
And it's time sensitive, immediate action requested. And upon opening it, it's a appeal to register to vote. And I am already registered to vote. However, I identify by my middle name instead of my first name, and this is addressed to my my middle name. My voter registration, my legal registration, is under my legal name, which is Karen, not Kim. But this application is a North Carolina voter registration application. But according to the State Board of North Carolina, this is not a current registration application and is not correct as far as party affiliation goes. It lists parties that are no longer recognized in North Carolina. I'm not sure if that is the only discrepancy in it, but the State Board says it's creating all kinds of problems. And my recommendation is just shred it. It's funded by a company out of Virginia called...
Ready to Register.
Paid for by Ready to Register, and it says it's not affiliated with any government agency or state local election office. However, I don't know why I would be targeted to get one of these, or Pat as well. But it's a little bit concerning that another state is trying to register voters.
Well, Ready to Register is not a state agency.
It's coming out of Virginia.
That's where their address is. That doesn't mean it comes from the state of Virginia.
I didn't say the state of Virginia. I'm saying an entity in another state.
They have to pick somewhere.
Well, I'm just saying that...
It's a mess.
According to AI, it says... The North Carolina State Board of Elections issued warnings about these mailings causing confusion and creating unnecessary processing work for local county boards. The forms being mailed contain outdated political parties and instructions. If you are already registered to vote at your current address, you do not need to fill out their form and can discard the mailing.
Well,
to confirm,
I trashed mine.
To confirm your official voter registration status or to register securely online, use the North Carolina State Board of Elections website.
And I would caution anybody that would fill this out and assuming that it's a valid registration, it's your responsibility to go online and see if you're registered to vote or not. Because I'd hate for you to show up to vote and find out that you're not registered.
Now, the irony, of course, is that we do have voter ID as a requirement for voting. So if you are registered under this secondary name or whatever else, and your voter registration, your ID doesn't match that, what's the dispute going to happen from the judge?
Well, it's got to be invalid. Otherwise, you could have Kim voting and Karen voting.
Right.
So the one that doesn't have an ID cannot be a valid vote. So,
and that's extra effort at the polling place. Yeah.
Well, when they look at the voter rolls, there is no Kim registered to vote. So somehow they got her name as a voter or a potential voter and sent her this. Now I don't know why they'd send me one because I use my legal name on my registry to vote. So, but I didn't even open it. I just put it right in the garbage can.
Well, coming in the mail today, there is one for my nephew who spent, I think, 2 months staying with us as they moved from New York down to here, but never lived at this address as such. I mean, they were waiting for their house to be finished.
They had a post office box when they were staying
there. They had a post office box. They've just gone and scraped everything that they can.
There should be something fundamentally wrong about this action that we could take, try to have retribution on, because it's...
Misleading?
Well, it's not just misleading. It ends up disrupting the normal processes and adds confusion in an area that isn't needed.
The state board site also said that these notices were sent out to deceased people. So if it's a deceased person, here again, you may have an opportunity for some fraud.
Well, the voter rolls, the blue states particularly, resist the federal government's insistence that they update their voter rolls. That's why we have all these deceased people on the voter rolls, because they don't go through and clean them. And the blue states, they just refuse to cooperate. There was a hoo-ha here in North Carolina about cleaning our voter rolls. And I don't know why we elect an official whose job is to keep the voter rolls up. And the law says you will keep the voter rolls up. And they still don't do it. There's a national organization that goes around and sues the various states to update their voter rolls.
Well, part of it is the agenda of...
Well, of course
it is.
The
ends justifies the means, and if it takes cheating to win, it's okay, as long as they win.
Judicial Watch has been one of the groups that has been very good about suing states to clean up
their... Yeah, I like Judicial Watch.
Yeah.
Because the voting rolls are, voting rolls are not properly kept.
There was an effort made to try to correlate the jury duty roll with DMV and the voting, and that went nowhere.
And that makes sense.
Because people that are called to jury duty, one of their excuses to get out of jury duty was, I'm not a legal citizen. However, the reason that they get the notice is because they were registered to vote or had a North Carolina driver's license, which also had the motor voter application. So it doesn't make sense that those can't be reconciled against each other.
Yeah. No, that's...
Does not compute.
Yeah. No. It just seems like all of those things would save so much money if the agencies would...
Well, not only would it save money, it would give us election integrity, which is something that we really need.
There was a recent case of the federal government checking the DMV rolls against Medicare, and that's how they found out that list of people that had...
No Social Security.
They had Ferraris.
They
went against the DMV records. And they said Ferraris, Mercedes, all of these luxury cars, and yet they were receiving Medicare.
I think one of the other interesting things that we heard about very recently is the federal government, in order to give out student loans, you must show a U.S. ID. A valid ID or?
Well, you must not, because there are a lot of
a real ID.
That give tuition to illegal aliens.
But that's not a loan.
Well, that's true.
That's not a loan. They're talking about the student loan.
Student loan is the fifth largest bank in the world.
Yesterday, there was an article about a state, I can't remember which state, but they were being sued because they were allowing illegal immigrants in state tuition and they not American citizens in state tuition if they were just from a different state.
Yeah, it's an equal protection argument, and that's been going around state by state. I read something today that said the Department of Education was lowering the state loan limits if you were getting some silly degree that wouldn't guarantee you a decent paying job.
We still have a Department of Education?
Yeah, we do.
I thought we were going to get rid of that.
We are. They're
She's
unwinding
working it, down.
It, but it's still there. Linda McMahon's
just
on the
checking.
Job.
It's checking. It sounds nefarious.
It's decreasing. Folks, on that, we're going to take another quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. This is CCTA Wake Up Call.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business, it's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Other restaurants claim their food is fresh and fast, but are they friendly? At Moore's, you're treated like family the minute you walk into their doors. With locations in Winterville, New Bern, Swansboro, Moorhead City, and Jacksonville, we've been practicing what we preach since 1945. At Moore's, our barbecue is slow-cooked and smoked over real wood daily until it's so tender it's falling off the bone. Combined with our fresh chicken, cooked-to-order seafood, and homemade fixins, we're sure you'll agree. If it's not Moore's, it's less.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
The County Compass is a rapidly growing, free weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news, coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Welcome back again. Thank you for listening to Sponsors and Supporters. Mary, you want to take us to France?
Well, this is kind of a bit insane, but the French politicians, some of them, are saying that Americans with air conditioning are to blame for the European heat wave.
Well, this was the department chair for the climate, and I think she's a communist.
Well, how does us having air conditioning have anything to do with the climate?
Our emissions. Our emissions, baby. She said, do your part.
Oh.
Yeah. Stop air conditioning. Lower your emissions. She said we were the number one emitting country or number two?
China building a coal-powered electric plant every week?
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think that can be accurate.
Yeah, but I think she said we were number one.
That would take some effort with them building a coal plant every week.
Well, who said the French were right?
What we need to do is send them all of the ranch dressing.
Well, in Ireland, the inspectors were showing up at their houses and ripping the air conditioners out.
Well, I think that was because of the energy drain was a problem.
No, because there's a number to call to report your neighbors for having illegal air conditioning.
Illegal air conditioning.
Yeah, because the building codes.
And the thing is that people in Europe are dying because of the heat.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's only so much time you can spend in the bathtub before you have to come out.
Well, people in America die of heat, too, and it's usually the elderly and the handicapped.
Yeah.
You know, living on a fixed income, and they live somewhere where they can't afford to air condition it. But since Europe, everybody is lacking air conditioning, that widens the pool. And I think I read something like 15,000 deaths so far.
It sounds like a government policy issue.
Well, it is.
What it sounds like.
Well, it's their net zero goal.
Which must equal their IQ also.
It also.
France. Don't forget.
It also has to deal. I'm going back to when I was in the service again, and we were looking at Dallas, Texas, with a temperature of 85 degrees, unseasonably cool, and London, 60 degrees, unseasonably warm. Same day. You know, it's relative to where you are, and I realize that they've got a heat wave, and we actually have a heat wave going here. But again, these are things that it's not our air conditioners.
But well, of course,
fluctuations in temperature has been going on as long as time has existed, and it just is interesting to me if I think back to my childhood. None of our homes had air conditioning.
Nope.
Nor did the car.
No. Nope.
Right. Well, we had 460.
And you had to roll the window down.
And it was called 460, four windows down, 60 miles an hour.
That's right.
But, you know, I think some of it is that you get used to or you adapt to. And when Glenn was working at Weyerhaeuser and in the paper mills, out in the machine areas, there was never any air conditioning. And the people that worked in it just somehow acclimated to the temperature. They just got used to, you know, what it was. So my question is, why kind of all of a sudden is heat starting to bother people who, if they've lived there their whole lives, obviously not had air conditioning their whole lives, unless it is what you said, Pat, the old or the sick.
And
because
again,
it's always hot.
And again, I'm going back to the service when they were in Afghanistan or whatever else, and your normal daytime temperature was 130 degrees. What are you going to do? You can't air condition outdoors.
Right.
And it was 130 degrees during the day and 60 at night. I mean, or 50 at night, yeah.
And carrying a 60-pound pack. And
wearing ceramic plates.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know how they lived through it.
That was the reality of it, yeah, yeah.
I want to go back to what we were saying before. I know I'm kind of out of order here. Rand Paul is supporting a constitutional amendment to end birthright citizenship. Now, that would take years.
Well, I think we'd be better off.
They've never approved the ERA.
Yeah.
Remember that?
They've never even approved English as our own language. I think we'd be better off to try to get it in a bill through Congress than a constitutional amendment.
I think one of the other things that we saw was apparently the COVID period said that, I mean, you've got this, during COVID, coming into this country, you had to have a pregnancy test?
No, you had
the COVID test.
But what was the...
Yeah, so what about if we make everybody have to have a pregnancy test?
Well, they're talking about that. They talked about that on the Conservative Treehouse this morning, that to set up a situation where every woman has to show a non-pregnancy pregnancy test that was taken within 10 days of her entering the country.
Well, they can do that through the State Department.
And call it the Roberts Regulation and just make it as miserable as possible so that it goes back to Chief Justice Roberts. He is the person responsible for this mess.
Well, it'll go back to Rubio because they'd have to implement that through the State Department that issues visas.
Mm. But the visas are for specific periods of time.
Mm-hmm.
So you could also say if you're more than 3 months pregnant, you can't get a six-month visa because that would mean your baby would be born here. That would be okay with me.
Me too. You can keep terrorists out. You could keep pregnant women out. That's terrorists too.
They're terrorists.
Yeah, they want to call it the Roberts requirement.
Roberts doesn't care. He's best friends with Norm Eisen, who has been the one that's pursued Trump relentlessly through lawfare. He just spent a week on vacation in Norm Eisen's house.
So his objectivity might be questioned?
Oh, duh.
We've known that for a decade or more.
Well, since Obamacare issue, I think, is when we...
Yeah.
Well, speaking of Obamacare, what did they find? 100,000 people that have no Social Security numbers are on Obamacare?
And then in the same breath, they reported that the enrollment went down this year, and I think that's after they took out all the fraudulent people.
Mm-hmm.
So there might have been a reason when it went
down. Not all. They took out the ones they found.
Yeah.
They haven't found all the fraudulent.
And by the way, the contractors for the Obama... library have not yet been paid.
And that's okay with me.
What?
Now, that's nefarious.
No.
That's nefarious.
I mean,
I think the contractor should get paid. I don't know why they...
Hey, Obama's the one that made such a big frickin' deal of they all have to be black contractors. And then he stiffs them.
That's local law.
I think if you did the work, you should get paid.
Well, they used to criticize Trump for that.
Yes.
That he didn't pay his contractors. So what's good for the goose is good for the gander.
On another note, I would like to point out that current oil prices are $68.05. So they're below 70.
People are saying, why aren't the gas prices coming down? I realize there's a lag effect, but The prices actually seem to have gone up another 10 or 20 cents around
here.
Well,
we need
$3.39.
We need to look at the corporate profit reports at the end of this quarter and see if there has been price.
Trump's out. Already complaining that the gas companies are gouging us.
Yeah, and we have to do at the end of the quarter is look at the quarterly reports.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Yeah. Those reports, I know they got to meet certain criteria, but I wouldn't rely on that to root that out because
they're
the designers of the report.
It's not like we're going to get a refund.
Right.
No, we won't. No.
But anyway, it just went down some more. 67. Okay, 67.99.
It'll be back.
It started out the morning at 69.50.
Well, it'll go back up because Iran just put out an assassination bid
on Trump and Netanyahu. Well, I think we're going to wind up with attacking Iran into submission.
But I think the point is that
I hope so.
That Trump recently has split up the argument about opening the Straits of Hormuz versus changing that government within Iran. He's tried to separate those two items. He's trying to keep the straits open, which will keep our gas prices theoretically.
And I think he'll do that.
And
well, he withdrew the Navy, didn't he?
No, they're still stationed there.
They're still
there. Might not be acting as a blockade.
I have a question on that. My understanding of the MOU, which was crazy in my opinion, was that the Straits of Hormuz would go back to pre-war control. Well, Iran was never in control of the straits, so why do they feel like they have the authority to toll
what
the
do
people
you mean
going
they
through it?
They were never in charge of it.
They were not tolling.
Who was?
Nobody.
It was open
international water.
Nobody.
Well,
but
you
now
can
they
call
want
it international water, but if Iran is the one giving you permission to proceed.
But no one is supposed to have permission in an international water nor tax you to go through that. And they want to tax anybody going through that or
well,
pay a toll.
Part of the problem right now, it looks as if Iran has been taken over by the Revolutionary Guard.
Mm.
They've essentially had a military coup.
How many of us are tired of hearing about the Hormuz Straits? I am.
But, again, it's something that needs to be cleared up. The interesting part is that the countries that are building pipelines that totally avoid it because they don't want to deal with the crazy.
Well, I got a kick out of the guerrilla journalist who asked this woman, why are we funding the Hormuz Straits? Don't we have to, the Hormuz Straits deserve some funding? She goes, oh, absolutely.
And that is how informed the American voter is.
Mm-hmm. That's funny.
But I have a feeling there's going to be more military action. The good news,
I hope so,
which is tangentially related to this, is that the government of Iran and Israel have agreed to get Hezbollah out of their country.
So that seems inconsistent if the Revolutionary Guard has taken over, because that's not something that would be likely
well,
their deal.
Iran is the one insisting that Israel bombing Hezbollah in Lebanon is part of the peace agreement.
Yeah, and which so it's not.
No, it's not. But they've used that as an excuse.
So Lebanon and Israel are now coming to terms to try to get rid of Hezbollah.
By the way, Lebanon has recently signed a deal again with Israel, recognizing Israel as a valid state,
and
which is something very, very new.
And the IDF has taken out a tremendous tunnel complex in southern Lebanon with
that
all
belonged,
kinds of munitions.
That belonged to Hezbollah.
So all
is,
kinds of stuff.
Is there a central office or central place where the Revolutionary Guard operates out of? And if so, why haven't we bombed the hell out of it?
Well, I suspect Mossad is probably collecting some information.
We'll soon have a fireworks display over there.
Well,
it's
a military organization. Just think of the analogy with our military organization. If you tried to get our military out of the U.S., how many places would you have to bomb?
I don't know the answer to that, but I think
it'd be a lot.
But knowing the names of who the leaders are,
we don't know the names.
That's what I just asked.
Okay. Israel may, but we don't.
Okay. Yeah. Folks, one last thing, by the way. Now, it is July 1st. Apparently, as of yesterday, we have a state budget agreement that needs to go before Stein to be signed. If he rejects it, well, then back to ground one. Folks, that's it for the show.
Happy 250th.
Happy 250th.